Hi, guys. I'm interrupting right now, and I do apologize for this ahead of time, but I have a new podcast called Confessions of the Idiots, where I read funny slash often weird online confessions each week to great guests. So far, including Sarah Snook, Sam Neill, William McInnes, Wendy Harmer, Judith Lucy, and so many more. The latest episode features Sir Peter Hitchener and Tony Martin.
Well, I always like the last story on the news, like after the weather.
Yes.
Does a dog on a surfboard? Always good.
Oh, nothing nicer than
nothing
that.
Nicer
or
than that.
A dog on a skateboard.
A dog doing anything,
especially
let's be real.
With one of the little back legs helping it along. They look so cute. They can have as many of those as I don't mind. They're so much fun.
And do they give you, you know, are you reading the auto cue and something like, they say it's a dog's life, but do you know, do they chuck those? Who comes up with those? Do you write those yourself?
No, those are composed by the producers.
Okay. Is there someone that's head of puns at Channel 9?
Oh, yes.
That's their full-time job, just writing.
Colin Patterson. He's very good at
They're very serious, but very stressed. I've got to have 10 puns by midday. So, guys, when you're finished listening to the debrief with the great Dave O'Neill, have a listen to Confessions of the Idiots with me, Sammy P. There's great episodes up there right now. There's 42, in fact. So you have your work cut out of you to catch up. But I believe in you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Confessions of the Idiots with Sam Peterson.
Welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here. It's January the... What is it? January the 10th? And I'm going up to Bendigo with none other than... He's about to get in the car. He's appeared on this podcast the most. The podcast's called The Debrief. The one, the only, Nick Kappa. We may have another person on the way back, though, I believe. Where is he? He was just here. He said he disappeared. I'm sure I saw him. Saw a curly-haired figure. We're at McDonald's. Where'd he go? Maybe he crossed over to the other side. I have to call him now. I should be sure I just saw him. Unless it was another curly-haired country-looking bogan guy. Oh, God, where is he? Oh, here he comes. What's he got? Sorry about that. Hang on. Hang on. What's happening?
Sir, I just ordered a coffee. Do you want a coffee?
No, I don't want a coffee.
You want water?
No, I'm all right. You're back on the debrief, and Nick Kappa's got in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most regular performers on this podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to stop stand-up. Just be debrief. Debrief me.
Pays pretty good. That's the thing.
Yeah.
People said to me the other day, why do you do so many podcasts? I said, because every time I do it, I get at least $5,000. They're like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I hate doing podcasts, man. I just do it for the money.
Yeah, you just... Yeah, that's right. It's your corporate gig kind of thing.
Yeah. You picked me up at Clifton Hill McDonald's.
McDonald's, yep.
And you know you just go to some place and you just see five weird things at once.
What'd you see?
So I saw three young girls, and they were kneeling down next to the McDonald's, and then they had, you know, those Lindt chocolate balls?
Yeah.
Really, you know those good ones.
Yeah, I know them.
That, and they had it, yeah, you know them.
I know I'm fat. I know about Lindt chocolate balls.
And the three of them were knelt down, and then they were unwrapping them and putting them in like a formation on the ground.
Whoa.
And leaving the wrappers everywhere.
Why?
They seemed very... I don't know why. I don't know.
Some kind of cult.
I don't know. It was freaking me out. Anyway, they walked off, and then I saw there's like a strip club or a brothel.
It's a brothel. I make jokes about it.
Ah.
On my last podcast with Danny McGinley, we drove past the Scarlet Lady.
Yeah, the Scarlet Lady.
Because I always say when I'm in the northern suburbs, the only interesting thing about Clifton Hill where I live is that there is a brothel right next to a McDonald's. And I always go, what's the name of that brothel? And there's always a pause and some guy goes, Scarlet Lady? I'm like, hey, woo.
I like it how they... Because there mustn't be any brothels in Clifton Hill because they haven't put any effort into it. They've got like one of those $1 neon signs.
That's a new addition.
Oh, really?
That's a new addition, that sign.
That is great.
I know. And also, it's in a... I assume that brothels, you want to, I've never been to one, but I assume, I've been told by my friends, no names will be mentioned, Husey, have told me that being anonymous is part of going to a brothel, but that one's in the intersection of major roads.
Well, that's what...
So how many people would see you, like, going into that joint?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I that was... That, because the brothel isn't the interesting thing about the story.
Oh.
Is that I saw, like, a bright orange Lamborghini. Like, you know a Lamborghini, you never... You know, you always turn your head. Even if you're a car lover, you know, you're like, what the fuck is that car? Bright orange out the front. And I thought, either that guy's the pimp...
Yeah.
Or he's... He's... got no shame, he's got no tires or anything, because everyone would know that orange Lamborghini. There's probably only one in Melbourne.
Gary, I saw your Lamborghini, mate, at the front. Interesting.
So those were the other two, and then I bought a coffee, and there was a, I don't know, I said this to my partner the other day. I said, now that you're with me, you're going to have to put up with this every time I buy something. Because every time I buy something, there's always some idiot in front of me who doesn't know how to pay for it. Takes ages.
Yeah.
I think I'm cursed by it.
Yeah, you do stand up about it.
Oh, it was... It's... No, I haven't done any about it, no. I don't think so. Oh, I know, I do. There's about a lady. Yeah, that's right. I do. I haven't done that bit in ages.
Mate, it's a classic bit of Kappa stand-up.
I should roll it out.
Bring it out tonight.
Mm.
Where are we going?
Going to Bendigo.
What's in Bendigo?
We usually do the... Gold Dust? No, the Gold Which Miners.
We've done this podcast before.
The Gold Miners on a Thursday, and it is awesome. Great.
It's great.
And
it's in the Covered Over Beer Garden.
Yeah, and I love that pub. Love it. But tonight it's at the Shamrock. They must. The Gold Miners, sometimes they close it.
Yeah.
They just close it for like a month at a time, which I kind of like as well.
Yeah. Like it's someone's house.
Yeah, they're just like, close it up, close it up. So, yeah,
the Shamrock. I've done the Shamrock many times. I've run comedy there off and on for at least 15 years. And some you're in different rooms. I've done different rooms. But this one's in the best one. It's in the basement.
Yeah. And this is run by the same bunch of guys. Cody Jones, Ash Greblow, and Luke Norris.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's Norris or Morris. They all run these gigs, and they are the nicest guys, and they always put on a very good gig.
Yeah, they are. They're good.
And they're good comics as well. Very good comics.
They're good. Bendigo, mate. Burgeoning scene in Bendigo.
Yeah, it's such a good town to go to. They, if we get time, but you're not a drinker.
No.
But if we get time, we should pop into this bar, this flight bar, just to see.
What's that?
It's in one of those suburban shopping malls, you know, like
right.
In Moree, they had Centrepoint Arcade or something.
Yes.
They had two, actually, Centrepoint Arcade and Baylow Square.
Oh, in Moree?
Yeah, in Moree, but it was two or three shops.
Yeah, a small plaza.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
It's kind of like from a street to a car park.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I went to Port Hedland, and in South Hedland they had one of those.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like they've dumped like a tenth of a Southland or a Westland in the desert.
Where is Port Hedland? I forgot.
Oh, it's up near Karratha.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, up past Geraldton and all those. Big mining place.
I'd love to go on a holiday up there. I reckon the country up there is like out of this world.
Yeah, it is out of this world.
Streams... In the middle of gorges.
Well, I just saw desert. That's all I saw. And miners and guys in high vis.
When you first started comedy.
Yeah,
Dave,
back in the 80s. Yeah. Well, actually, 90s. Almost started in the. I would have loved to have started in the 80s.
Anyway, yeah.
Started in 1990, yeah.
When you first were with your partner, or did you guys. Yeah. Did she travel with you a bit? Or,
Yeah.
It was a bit of an adventure?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, definitely. So, well. I mean, I used to go to Sydney and do... Yeah, I mean, we go to Adelaide with her.
Yeah.
So we went to Adelaide, and you could get a run of gigs there.
Yeah.
I remember hanging out with Adam Hills, because he was the regular host. Tool man! Marco Tool was just out on the side of the road. You know him? You know Tool man?
No.
Oh, he used to be a stand-up. He's a writer now. Professional comedy writer. Very funny. Very funny man.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's the one I wrote films with, Tool man.
What were one of his
takeaway?
Or one of his good jokes?
Oh, he's he He came back. He did. He came back and did stand up again. And he said, because he's divorced now. And he said, oh, internet. Oh, here he is. Oh, here he is. He's calling. Hey.
What's going on?
Where
are you on your way?
Mate, me and Kappa. Say hello, Kappa. We're driving to Bendigo.
Hello.
Mate, we're driving to Bendigo. Bendigo. Do you want to come? Jump in.
Mate, yeah. No, you'll be right. Can you do me a favour, though? Be really careful driving under those signs on the Tullamarine. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be reading that you've been killed by a sign saying
Coburn. Yeah, you know what he's talking about? There was an incident.
Yeah, the sign.
No, mate, yeah. Topical. Topical.
Yeah, mate. You can use that.
Because you're on my podcast now. We're recording it now. Hey, that's going out.
Fantastic. So I won't talk to you about that other thing that other thing I was gonna talk to you about.
No, don't talk.
Sorry, mate, bloody interrupting your podcast.
Oh, no,
can you get back to it?
It's very casual.
Let's have a mate, those sort of things are not in
Shepparton
or Bendigo or whatever.
Cabin's just asked for I said he used to be a stand up and he asked me for one of your jokes. So I was gonna tell him the one you came back with about the hard rubbish. You know, the...
Mate, that was gold.
You know, what is it? Internet dating is like, hard rubbish and...
What is it? It's like...
How'd it go again?
It's like putting yourself out on hard rubbish dating.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those fat televisions.
And then there's just people that just drive around and pick up anything. And they're called men. Is that right?
Yeah.
See?
They take you home and then they realise they don't want you and throw you out again. It's exactly like hard rubbish stuff.
See?
Mate. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Get back into it.
Just a little bit. I think, yeah, I might get back into it. You know, I think that's always a good idea when you're however many years old I am.
Same age as me. Yeah, it's always good.
That's what all the old blokes are getting back into it, mate.
Well, that's what the world's asking for, more old white men. They love them. They love them. They're very, very popular.
The thing about stand-up isn't easy. You can not do it for 20 years and just get back and then you pretty much get a stand special.
It's like water skiing. It's like water skiing. You give it up for 30 years, get back into it. It's easy.
Yeah, it's a muscle. It's a muscle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, anyway, I've got muscular
dystrophy,
so I'll let you go. But let's have a yap tomorrow.
I'll talk to you.
There. Good on you.
See, funny guy.
Yeah, real funny. That's a good joke.
That's a good joke. And his other one was that back in the 90s, he used to talk about how bouncers, they were sending bouncers to TAFE. And he goes, what are they learning there? They're learning numbers? They're learning maths? Hey, you two, fuck off. What are they learning? Are they learning biology? Hey, cockhead, fuck off. And he had this whole string of, they're learning history? Hey, I told you last week, and I'm telling you again, fuck off. It's a good routine. Should steal it off him.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
Damn, that is great.
That's a good routine.
I love old subjects.
Bouncers.
Bouncers would have been a big subject
for
a while.
Oh, man, in the 90s, the early 90s, we all had bouncer material. Because, of course, we were all in our 20s, and we were all going to nightclubs and bars where bouncers were very active.
Yeah.
And also, they were less policed back then. They were just dodgy, ex-crim types.
Yep.
Oh, I can remember... A lot of people had bouncer routines.
Mm.
I had the one where the guy said, and this is so dated now, you can't come in.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you got your names on the door. And I said, well, I'm Push. That's bank card. I'll see you in there. Get it? Names on the door. See, bank card.
Yeah.
No one has a bank card.
They were those big red ones, like big maroon ones.
Yeah. They were a government credit card.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Someone's not keen to get on the freeway and get a sign dropped on them.
Sorry, we should let them know as well, Dave, that we were going to go get fuel. We've got 25 kilometres left.
Yeah, we're rebels.
But then we decided we're going to hit the freeway.
Well, under your influence.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did used to go to my partner, who is still my partner. Mm. She came to Adelaide and I would do gigs at night. And she would come along, which is so unusual. She hasn't seen me do stand-up for years now.
Yeah.
And... And I remember hanging out with Adam Hills and his partner, because both the women worked in the body shop part-time, because it was a classic part-time job.
Mm.
I remember seeing Hills. Yep. Hills used to host this Saturday night at the Comedy Cellars.
Yep.
It was like their version of the Comedy Store or the Comics Lounge.
Yep.
On every weekend,
work groups. And he Hilsey even then was a very good host, and I just remember thinking, fuck, what's going to happen to this guy? I feel sorry for him. He's just stuck in Adelaide.
Yeah, oh, really? I remember...
And then he's going, because he was doing radio and stuff, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to move to Melbourne. I'm going to... Because he's from Sydney originally.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking, oh, I'll come back in 20 years. He'll still be here, this guy.
I wonder who else we're going to be wrong about.
Oh, you can be wrong about so many people.
You know, right now who I'm going to be wrong about.
Yeah.
You
know? Even though you're good because you're friendly to a lot of people. So... Mm. Like Rove, a lot of people didn't expect him to have his own TV show.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That was unexpected.
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy, but I tell you what, and he was good because he gave everyone from that generation a break that he liked and got on well with.
Yeah.
And he got on well with most people, I have to say.
Well, and the people he had on his show, really good. You know, you know the best when they stand the test of time, and everyone on his show.
And most of them are still doing it. Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, who of your generation? Who have you picked? Is going to be famous?
Because
you know some of the ones you pick, nothing happens.
No. Yeah.
Or they give up.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're kind of jealous of them then, because they found peace with themselves.
Yeah. But then they'll try to come back too.
I know. I was talking to a good friend, Alex Ward. You should get her on here. She's
Alex, she's
great. Anyway, we were talking the other day, and she said, I've sold one ticket in Adelaide, and I said, I've sold five. And I said, why do we do this? And she goes, I don't know, I've been fantasizing about moving to the country. And I'm like, me too.
Yeah.
Let's move to the country. There's so many good acts at the moment. There's a guy, Oliver Twist, who's real good.
Oliver Twist?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. His name's Oliver Twist.
That's his real name.
I don't know if it's his real name because he came from like a refugee camp in, I forget where it was.
So is he African?
Yeah, he's African. But you wouldn't know he'd spent 10 years in a refugee camp.
Yeah, right.
He is so fucking cool. Like... And then he's got these crazy stories. He used to sell porn in the refugee camps. Oh, man, it's nuts. Yeah, I want to see his show. And he absolutely destroys.
Yeah, right. Is he Melbourne?
No, he goes between Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah, right.
He's really good. Really good.
Yeah, right. Is he a young man?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and he's just, yeah, very, very interesting. I love watching Sonia Diorio.
Yeah, Sonia.
So good.
She could be big.
Big. I've always loved him. Is Blake Freeman. He's a young guy.
Oh, he's funny.
Oh, he's so solid.
Is he the one that does stuff about his Bogan brother?
Yeah.
With a motorbike and stuff? Yeah, he's funny. Yeah,
he is. So he tells this great story. His dad was a bit of a darrow as well and tried to burn down his own house for insurance in a small country town. So he thought the fire brigade wouldn't come. But then the fire brigade came really fast, you know.
Right.
And then he was hoping that the whole house would burn to the ground. He'd say, oh, the microwave blew up.
Yeah.
But the fire brigade got there, found that he'd burnt half his lounge room down, and there was a trail of petrol on the floor, and his TV was in the car.
His TV was in the car. Oh boy. Well, yep. There's several people to watch.
But
they're not going to Bendigo on a Thursday night in January, are they?
No way, mate. No way.
Were we meant to have a third person in the car?
Oh, yeah. Emma Holland, she's great as well. I saw her last night, first time.
Yeah.
Very kind of unique act. You know, with cool, unique kind of stuff, and it's so refreshing.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, man, it is refreshing.
Well, she might be here on the way back.
Yeah.
She might be.
Yeah.
You might have to get in the back seat.
I can get in the back seat.
I can interview her.
It's fine.
Because you've been on this...
Been on this a million times.
Oh, it's like a regular.
People now give me... I've had like 4 or 5 compliments, not on how great the podcast was, but the songs I picked.
Oh, really?
You're going, Ween, man. I love Ween.
Oh, Ween are the best.
And something else there. They go, man, heard you on the debrief. You picked that metal song. Great. Loved it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Mm. I don't know if I can play songs anymore because Something to do with APRA, I don't know.
Oh,
I did pay a licensing fee and then something happened. Tragedy.
Tragedy.
Anyway, look, keep listening because in about 4 seconds we'll have done the gig and we'll be back in the car. We'll tell you all about it.
Yep.
Because we're expecting big things.
Big things.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be back on the debrief. All right, yeah. We'll be in touch. All right, you're back on the debrief. We're on the way home now, and Emma Holland has joined us.
Hello.
How are you? I mean, Kappa's in the back.
Hey.
He's eating his KFC.
Can you hear Kappa?
You can hear him, yeah. It picks it up. Just lean in, Kappa.
He's drinking. Can you hear the sounds of him chewing?
I had a little Mountain Dew. I'm fine now.
Wow, Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing a documentary on the South of America, like the American South, I mean, like, you know, hillbilly country, and all the kids drank Mountain Dew instead of water, and this guy ran a mobile dentist in a caravan. He got a lot of business because of Mountain Dew, so be careful.
They're creating jobs. That's what I like about them.
They're creating jobs. Anyway, Emma's here, and we did this gig together in Bendigo, us three, and it was a good gig.
Yeah.
I've never seen you before, Emma. You were great.
Oh, thank you. Very kind.
And yeah. Kappa was at his usual standard. Bombing. Nah, he smashed it. Kappa was emceeing. Got a bit hairy at the start. There was this massive dude who turned out to be a prison officer in the local prison.
Yeah,
heckling.
He was very friendly, but he'd look at you with intense.
Oh man,
he'd kill you.
Yeah, he looked, but he loved it.
I reckon I could have taken him.
You could have taken him. Did he heckle you? I don't think he heckled
you.
No,
he did.
Oh, he did.
I don't know how to handle hecklers, so I just panicked and ignored him and talked very fast over him.
Yeah, he said I was 100%. I don't know what that means.
That's you great.
Were, you were 100%.
100%.
Anyway, how long have you been doing comedy, Emma?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. That's...
Getting up to veteran status.
Yeah, that's not that long. Well, you know, it still feels long, though, does it?
Nah, it doesn't feel long at all.
Did you start in Canberra? Are you from Canberra?
Yeah,
you?
From Canberra, and I started there.
Oh, God, what was that like?
It's actually good. There's like a thing in Canberra that you can't bomb there. Like, it's impossible to bomb in Canberra.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a gig in Canberra that I thought was bombing, and then I moved to Melbourne and did a gig in a pub with three people.
Yeah.
Two of them comedians, and I was like, oh, this is bombing.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So they're kind of supportive in Canberra.
Yeah, I mean, people come to open mics as kind of like a social thing to do.
Oh my God, yeah, this doesn't happen in Melbourne, does
no,
it?
No, no, not at all. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so in Melbourne, you've been doing mainly open mics?
I was for a little bit. I'm doing, I guess, more booked rooms now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can see why. You're good.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, really good. Like, it's nice, like a real breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, you just see the same old stuff all the time. It's...
Don't talk about my act like that, all right? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I had some new stuff. So did you, Kappa.
Yeah, it was, you know. What I'm saying is...
No, because, well, you bring your fresh perspective.
You do the basics right, you know, but...
That's right.
Yeah, let's get back to talking more about me.
Yeah. No, you're good.
I mean...
You're almost a little bit whimsical. you're a bit homespun, almost.
Oh.
Because you have drawings and stuff.
Yeah, when I first started, one of my friends did a joke where he like blew up a balloon on stage, and I gave him so much shit for being a prop comic.
Yeah.
And then a year later, all my jokes were props. I'm like, well, this is who I am now. So
I like props. I used to have props. You ever had props, Kappa?
Yeah.
What props have you had?
Your hair. No, come on.
I used to have musicals that I'd bring.
What?
I drew the posters for the musicals.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, that's cool. I like that a lot.
Why don't we see that anymore?
Yeah, I could get them. I still got them. One was called, Scrotocopter.
maybe we don't need to see it. Maybe we don't need to, yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
No,
what else?
There was, I forget what it was called. Tatiana.
Jesus.
Ooh, Tatiana.
What?
And what I do, this was the joke, right? I go, this is my play I've written, ooh, Tatiana. And I go, does anyone here remember Tatiana Grigorievo?
Yeah.
The pole vaulter. I said, and people go, yeah, yeah, I remember her. I said, this play has nothing to do with Tatiana Grigorievo. What it's about is about a plant grower who grows up in Cowra.
Right.
I delivered it better than that, you know, but yeah.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, that killed with me. I'm very kind, though. Very
I liked it. Do you remember what props I had? I went through a stage where I'd write letters to the Herald Sun in the 50-50 column.
Aye.
And I got some published, so I had all them. I used to read out.
Aye.
About why my big one was, what if oranges are called oranges, why are bananas not called yellows? Now I am confused. That was a good one. And then with the fruit shop theme, I said, why do elderly Italian men who own fruit shop smoke out the front of their shops? Do they think they're attracting people to their shops? They loved me for a while, 50-50, but...
The worst thing about prop comedy is, especially at open mic level, is taking your props to a gig and then the joke not working and you have to walk out.
Yeah, you have to lug it out.
Yeah. You have to show you that you put all this effort into a joke that you were convinced was going to work.
Yeah, you've got to lug it out. It's like, oh, how embarrassing.
I remember for a while I was mucking around with these Spider-Man walkie-talkies.
Jesus.
Oh, that was the first week I moved to Melbourne. Oh, I remember that.
So it wasn't that long ago.
No. I still might do it. I don't know whether I should put it in the show or not. But I remember one time
Give it to the audience or?
I gave one to the audience and I'd be like, oh, I don't think the back can hear me well enough. I'll get this walkie-talkie.
Oh, I love that.
And people would always like say something funny into the walkie-talkie no matter what, but if the risk made it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were going to say something funny or not. And I'd say a joke once, I said, is that funny now? And they go, no, like it was delayed.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah. But it was real embarrassing.
Yeah.
Taking my Spider-Man walkie-talkies with me off once a bomb. Oh, like a
35. Oh, can I have that back, please? The walkie, just give it back now. Well, often that's kind of more festive. In a festival show, I had a baby monitor that had a tape recorder inside and it would play my kid talking to me from the, like it'd say, Dad, where are you? Are you in the lounge room? I'm like, yeah, I'm in the lounge room, mate. Because I had the whole scenario that I'd just gone out and told my wife was at book club and I just brought the baby monitor with me to listen to, you know, to the kids were in bed and I just had the speaker.
Yeah.
But then he would interrupt the show with stuff like, Dad, I went in the lounge room, you weren't there. Oh, I should bring that back. I love that baby monitor stuff.
It's a bit off track from comedy, but when I was a kid, my parents didn't want us to have mobile phones for a while, so they got us walkie-talkies instead.
Oh, that's cool.
So we'd just be in the mall and they'd send me and my sister off with a walkie-talkie.
You're joking.
Shopping on our own, yeah. And occasionally we'd turn and get like truckie stop. Like
Yeah.
I think at that we heard some things we were not supposed to hear.
Yeah. Dad, you know what these truckies are saying on the Well, I used to do a joke about it, which is true, our baby monitor would be on the same frequency as taxis occasionally. So in my joke, I used to say, we'd be sitting in the lounge room, the baby monitor would be on, and you'd hear this, we go, Jesus, you'd hear this foreign language, you'd go, that baby's speaking Somali, that's impressive. it would occasionally, baby monitor jokes. That's it, because you and I have something in common, your dad was in the Air Force, my dad was in the Air Force. So you're an Air Force brat. Interesting. And so did you move around a lot? We moved around a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, moved back and forth between Australia and Indonesia.
Yeah, you spoke Indonesian in your act. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Oh, I messed it up really bad. I think I'm lucky because I don't think anyone understood what I was saying anyway.
I think you're in Bendigo. I don't think there's a lot of Indonesian
That's
speaking.
That's what I was hoping for. But yeah, I really messed that up.
The closest thing you got was one of the other Bendigo comics said he goes to Bali a lot. He might have, I don't know. Because Kappa looked up and he goes, what language is that when you were speaking?
Because when you were speaking Spanish, I could understand. Because I used to speak a bit of Spanish, but then Indonesian, I was like, holy fuck, this is Spanish.
It does sound like a very... I mean, we did Indonesian at high school, Selamat Pagi. That's Indonesian. But
I'm all right. I'm not fluent, but I can hold a conversation. I used to write essays in it for school.
Oh my God, and you'd be able to understand
it,
though.
I can understand it.
Yeah, that's a real skill.
Do you reckon,
considering they're going to invade us one day, possibly, the Indonesians.
Do you reckon learning another language made you funny?
You know what? When I was doing Indonesian classes, like, in Indonesia in school, we used to have to do, like, group assignments, and I always did skits making fun of the Indonesian language and how it translated badly.
Yeah. Ah.
So maybe.
Started there. Why did you get into comedy then? Like, what did you do at uni?
Photography, visual art.
Oh, okay, right, right. So why did you get into comedy then?
I don't really know. I think it mostly started... I started listening to just, like, podcast interviews with comedians.
Yeah.
And it kind of became... Like, I always thought... I think it's, like, the classic thing. Like, you just kind of realise you can just start doing it.
Yeah. So that's... I think a lot of people go through that thing where you think, those people that do comedy are really special. They come from a... And after a while, you realise they're just normal
people. Yeah, you can just
people.
Be a person.
Yeah, they just want to do it. It doesn't matter if you... Like, you were from Canberra, you probably thought... Yeah. Wow.
But I kind of look back on, like, when I was a kid and, like, growing up now, and it's, like, it makes sense now that I'm doing comedy. Like, I was on a school camp once, and there was a microphone at the front of the bus, and I went up and did, like, what I called a radio show for half an hour to,
oh, fantastic.
Like, the kids on my bus and teachers.
Yeah.
I think, I remember a good portion of it being me pulling a ruler out of my bag and measuring the length of each teacher's head, like, bald heads.
Fantastic. Doing crowd work.
Doing crowd work at, like, age 12, so...
But with the teachers, which is, like, doing crowd work with the bosses.
I don't think they loved it, but the kids did, so that's all that mattered. That was my target audience.
Yeah, right. So where did you do your first gig, in Canberra, or...?
In Canberra, at the Front Cafe.
Oh.
Yeah.
What gig was it, sorry?
The Front? I don't think it's a... Is it was an open mic. Show? No.
Years ago, I did a gig in a bookshop.
Was it a bookshop?
Smith.
Smith is good.
Well, you know, quite a few comics have come out of Canberra over, like, going back to Doug Anthony All-Stars.
Yeah, that's what my mum always references, because Paul McDermott went to School of Art at ANU as well.
Yeah, right.
So now that I do comedy, she's like, I knew you would, because Paul McDermott went to art school and now he's a comedian.
Gary Eck went to... He's from Canberra.
Yeah.
There's a few Canberra comics around.
I mean, there's that big comedy club, Parliament House.
Hey! Nick Cabra in the back.
Well done.
Bloody clown.
Buddy. I went to Canberra for a holiday recently because I was talking to Amber before this. You know my niece, Sass.
Yeah.
From uni, because my wife's brother lives there. And Sass is one of his kids. Anyway, I got excited because I love politicians, and I saw, it was like Hollywood. You go down the street and there's, so yeah, we saw Malcolm Turnbull having a coffee.
Oh, really?
It's pretty exciting.
The Big M.
Yeah.
I have never seen a politician.
Really?
In public, never.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I lived there maybe 9 years, and I never saw a politician.
Ever.
Ever.
People tell you how much Canberra is such a dump, but
it's the push capital.
I've been there the last couple of years, and I've found it really beautiful.
That is nice.
Actually bloody nice.
I think Canberra's great if you live there. I think it's not awesome for visitors, because I think, like, once you start meeting people and knowing people, there's all these, like, weird little, like, subcultures going on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, because, you know, it has a very high level of education to Canberra.
Yeah.
It's got a very high level of tertiary education because they're all public servants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a mate who went there and he said exactly that. He said that he moved there and there's just heaps of people from interstate. So you just have these mad house parties all the time.
Oh, yeah. There's like every like few weeks these people would throw what were essentially like small music festivals like in their garages.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah, well, a lot of good bands came out of Canberra.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay, don't make me list them. The Whitlams? How Canberra were they? No, I don't know. Look, I normally know music really well, but I'm struggling to think of any Canberra bands. I've done my head in. Some good Canberra bands.
The music scene in Canberra is really good.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a lot of just diversity and it's very active.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to make their own fun. It's like Perth.
Exactly.
Got to make your own fun.
Yeah.
Canberra, hey. And did you do Raw Comedy? Did you?
Yeah, I did Raw last year.
And how'd you go?
I was runner-up for the whole thing.
Hey, that's pretty good.
It's all right.
You get on TV and your parents get excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to be on TV. That was the only part I didn't want to do.
Oh, you didn't want to do that?
Nah.
Why not?
I don't know. I just never liked the idea of being on TV. I like live performance much better.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because most comics want to be on TV. Do you want to be on TV, Kappa?
Yeah, I love being on TV. Because it's, I don't know, I guess it legitimises you a bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know, people don't really believe you're a comedian, so you've been like, yeah.
Especially your parents' friends and stuff. They're like, you know, what's he doing?
But you know, Steve Martin said in his book, you got to be on there 100 times before. Well, 10 times before people start taking notice.
Yeah, it's true.
See, it doesn't really count if you've been on there 10 times.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and these days, because of the internet, everything's all split and scattered. So in the old days, people would go on Hey Hey It's Saturday like 3 or 4 times and they could tour around the country selling out.
Yeah.
You know, like people like Rita Rudner and stuff from America, and now it's like, nah. You'll get more hits on YouTube from your gala spot than your actual gala spot. You know what I mean? You'll get more audience from YouTube.
Yeah.
If it goes viral.
But it opens you up to an international audience as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I've had some, like, messages from, like, men in Chicago, for
example. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Just, like, loved your spot, and then adding me on Facebook. I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I don't know who you are, exactly. Who are you? Well, and what was it like moving to Melbourne to do comedy? Was that a good experience or interesting?
It was like
confronting?
It was kind of like a culture shock.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Canberra's so... Yeah, there's always an audience in Canberra, I guess. And it's always like an audience that is actively wants to be there.
And are the comics very supportive of each other in Canberra?
Oh, yeah, there's this... I think because it's so small, like... Canberra community, like comedy community, is really tight. We're all really good friends.
And yeah.
I think a massive part of doing comedy in Canberra is the social part of it.
Sure.
And I found here, like, especially starting with open mics, like, a lot of comics kept to themselves.
We're not friendly.
Kind of just, like, shuffled in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah. But I think after I was in Melbourne for maybe a month before I did Raw, and then after doing Raw, that kind of helped bump me up in the scene a bit.
Yeah. People get to know you. Oh, yeah, she did well in Raw. Yeah, for sure.
So that was like that was nice to enjoy that kind of privilege, essentially.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about open mics is that anyone can do it. Anyone can turn up and do them. So you get all sorts of people with all sorts of issues, I reckon, turning up thinking comedy is going to be the answer to all their problems.
That's kind of what I love about it, though.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
I wouldn't watch it, but yeah. But I love the culture.
It is very it can be very random.
Yeah, it's very strange.
There's archetypes. Since I started 30 years ago this year, there's always, like, the divorce guy who turns up with a guitar.
Yeah,
I got to sing some songs about my ex-wife. Here we go. There's an 18-year-old kid who talks about sex a lot, and you're like, I don't think you've had a lot of wanking jokes and like, having sex with my girlfriend. I don't think you've got a girlfriend. There's a person who's really into their job, whether it's nursing or in the library, and that's all they talk about in their act.
Yeah.
So I'm a librarian, right? And then the whole 10 minutes is on being a librarian. You're like, oh man, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. You get a couple of. Yeah, every now and then you get a dude who just like wants to stick it to the man, you know?
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah.
But like pulls up the full Bill Hicks.
Yes.
Like, stool, sits on the stool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, life is crazy, yeah. You're walking along.
I like at open mics because you can always tell who listens to the Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh, really?
It's very obvious, yeah.
Oh, do they? So they imitate him?
It's like a certain, like...
It's like a...
I don't know how to explain it.
It was an attitude.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you
mean. So it's like, fuck you all, that kind of attitude? Yeah. Is it like that? Fuck, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
I'm going to do what I want here, right?
Wanting to be edgy before you want to be funny.
Yeah. But also, they often they're just offensive.
And it's weird. It's like a philosophical brute, and they think that people give a shit about them, so they'll go, like, exactly what I did the impression of, like, yeah, you know, life's funny. Life's funny. This is a funny thing, yes. It's like, no one gives a fuck who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
But you got to start somewhere, right?
People
that stay in it, they usually get that knocked out of them pretty quick.
They do. People often start off by imitating someone. They don't know they're doing it. They just do it, you know. There's a lot of Nick Capra imitators out there now. So
many.
Name them.
Yeah, I can't.
Call them out.
There were a few in Bendigo tonight. There were a few there. Big Cap fans. That Nick G guy, Mike Capa, he's one of them.
What about Dave O'Neill fans?
There are a few Dave O'Neill fans.
Were
there?
Imitations.
Oh, no, I don't know about
that. Apparently, when Seinfeld was big, every comic in America
was like him,
just doing, like, you know, when you...
Well, Louis C.K. was another one too. I think a lot of them did him too.
Who were you, like, a fan of or listening to when you started?
Me?
Yeah.
Good question. I liked mainly Australian comics, but I also loved British. I loved Alexei Sale. I went and saw him. Oh, he was fucking great. Because he was funny, but he was also a bit political and... you know, when he sang songs and stuff, I like that. No, I loved him. I went and saw him. I went and saw Ben Elton, but he wasn't very good. When I started, he was really, believe it or not, he was very funny. But I loved them. But I also loved all the guys like that I'd seen on TV, like Wendy Harmer, Glenn Robbins, Peter Rosethorn. And that was amazing. You know what it's like when you go to a venue and you see them? Like, you're like, fucking hell, that's... Yeah. I remember seeing Magda at a gig. I'm like, that's back, that's the Pinsky. Because I tried to act really cool. I remember early on doing a gig, I was emceeing, and Darryl Braithwaite was sitting down the front.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God, Darryl. And I wasn't a massive fan or whatever, but I thought...
Everyone's a massive fan.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and I've met him. He's a lovely guy, but I didn't want to... Because he was there with... You could tell he was there with friends and stuff. He was just having a good time. And so I didn't point it out. And then I bought on the first act, he was like an open micer. And he's like, anyway, I went down to the shops and fucking hell, it's Darryl Braithwaite, everyone.
Is he aware of his kind of cultural revival?
Yeah, definitely. With horses. Yeah. Because he went through a stage where he was just like the guy from Sherbet, and then he had horses and a few other hits. And he would just tour constantly, but the horses revival has... Oh, yeah, he's aware, don't worry. I think he's very aware of it, that he's become an icon again.
Yeah.
Like for horses, which is interesting. It was good that it's happened for him, you know, like, because he'd be able to get good crowds and
he's
stuff.
He's reaching a new generation.
Yeah, he is.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I watched the New Year's celebrations and they had him sing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're just a full dad now, you know what I mean, or a granddad.
Oh, man, he's like, yeah. I mean, he was in Sherbet when I was in primary school. So, he was big in the 70s. But it must be hard being like that. And it'd be like being the same for Mark Seymour from Hunters and Collectors, where they're known for like one song. Like, I mean, they've got obviously like... But people with Mark Seymour, they just want to hear Holy Grail and Throw Your Arms Around Me.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do new stuff. You know? Everyone just wants to hear those two.
Yeah. I remember one time at a... festival, I saw Slash's Snake Pit.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
But it was, what they'd done is they'd gone, okay, Slash will sell. What we'll do is we'll put him with a bunch of models that can play guitar and sing. So we just had these guys that were essentially like models covered in tattoos running around singing and playing guitar. But I said, I don't want to see this when it comes to, I said to my brother. And my brother's like, yeah, no, let's just stay for one song.
Yeah.
And then this bloke behind us, he goes, mate, I just want to see the fucking hat, the cigarette and a double guitar, and then I'm fucking out of here. So these models kind of come on, and they're all playing guitar. They're like, yeah, give it up for Slash. He walks out, and there he is, hat, smoking with the... And the bloke behind us goes, yeah, I'm out. And then everyone was kind of jumping around, but then he started the start of Welcome to the Jungle, and everyone's like,
yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I went saw, you know, Johnny Marr from the Smiths.
Yes.
And so he would do his side stuff, but then he would just do a Smiths song and everyone would lose their minds. Like, he starts a guitar riff, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, I remember I saw Noel Gallagher and the
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I wasn't an Oasis fan at the time. I never liked Oasis. And then...
No, you were more of a Blur man, weren't you? In the Britpop Wars.
More of a Blur man, yeah.
I was more pulp, but anyway, I love pulp.
Yeah, pulp.
I love
great.
Pulp.
Oh my god, no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you also like, Suede.
Oh, yeah, Suede had one good song.
Yeah.
It's 90s. How old are you, Emma?
23?
Yeah, it was a while ago, wasn't it?
90s Britpop.
90s Britpop. What year were you born? Then you're born
95.
In?
95.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. Oh no, you might have heard it in the cradle.
In the womb.
Yeah, in the cot. If your old man was into a bit of Britpop.
I think I don't know what he was into. Punk, I think.
Oh, he was in punk?
Yeah.
Oh, love it. How old is he? Your mum? Your mum and dad?
51.
Oh, 52. My God. I'm older than your dad. Go, your dad. You probably know him.
Yeah, probably.
Went to high school with him. And, oh, your mum. Anyway, what happened with Noel? Did he play any old stuff?
He didn't play any old stuff, but his new stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
I went out and listened to the album afterwards. But then at the end he played Don't Look Back in Anger. And went
great song.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You don't hear that a lot about, like, old people anger.
No, they're old.
Older artists who try new stuff. No one's ever, like, actively praising that.
No, you're right. That's true. And they talk about the frustration of it too, you know. But
yeah.
It's hard. It's hard, man. I mean, if I could just do my old stuff, I would. But, you know, people want new jokes.
That's a problem. And then I went back kind of into Oasis a little bit.
Yeah, they had some good songs.
And I didn't realise how good they actually...
Yeah, they had some good stuff.
Apparently that documentary on them is amazing.
Oh, yeah. The
documentary on them, because they played the biggest...
Yeah, that's right, they did. They were massive, Oasis, especially in England. Now, Emma, I've got these questions I ask everyone on the podcast.
Yeah.
So they're debrief questions. What went well tonight and why in your act or in the whole gig? What went well? I mean, they responded to you.
I think for me what went well was making the guy with face tattoos in the front row laugh.
Oh, yes. It seemed Jamie his name was.
Yeah, because I'm never sure if my cadence will translate with certain groups of people.
Yes.
And it's kind of nice when it's the unexpected happens.
Yeah. He looked really tough, but when you spoke to him, he was like a warm...
Oh, he was lovely.
...cuddly bear.
Yeah.
He's a really nice fella.
He comes to a lot of...
To all the gigs.
Yeah, right.
Aww.
What did I say to him? I said, because he's got all tatters on his face. Your job at Westpac didn't work out? That's what I said. Classic. I always wonder what people like that do for a job. Anyway, and he had a Canadian rapper on his chin.
Oh, is that why you were talking about
Canadian rappers? Yeah, I was listening.
Oh, okay.
I was listening. I said, Canadian rappers. I said, like Drake, showing off my knob. That was the only Canadian rapper I could think of.
Now you're speaking my language. Now I understand.
I know Drake. then I just started listening off the old, great Canadian rappers like Bryan Adams, Celine Dion, you know, Bare Naked Ladies, Loverboy. Your dad would know Loverboy. They had two hits.
I'll text him and ask. Sorry, I'll write a letter and ask.
Yeah, send a pigeon. Okay, what didn't go well? Anything not go well?
I think I mentioned this backstage, but there was... on the other side of the front row was a woman who was looking directly at the fly of my jeans the entire time. And I was, like, trying with one hand while I was speaking to, like, feel
check
if
your
my
fly
was up.
Yeah.
So that made me a little bit nervous.
Oh, God. And were there any organisational hazards got in the way of the gig?
What do you mean?
Well, like, bad lighting or... Kappa, do you reckon anything?
No, I don't. I think it was all right. Just, there's a bit of movement at the start, I'd say. A lot of people walking around. And
yeah, that's true.
There was an old couple sitting down the front. Now, they'd gone by Did you see that old couple down the front?
Yeah. That was the woman who
that was staring at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she said at the start, I go, about the Christmas presents, and she goes, I said, what did you get for Christmas? And she goes, can't say, a few of them.
Oh my God.
Her partner had his arm around and they were smiling at each other.
Now I really don't like that she was looking at my flyer.
Creepy.
Yeah, doing the old bump and grind.
Oh my God. Maybe that's why they left early.
Good on them. If they got it,
yeah,
go for
yeah,
it.
Exactly. And my last question, how can we do better next time? Have the gig in Melbourne, so be closer.
More Canadian rapper references.
Yeah, more Canadian rappers. Who knows? Well, thanks for coming to the podcast, Emma.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Are you doing a festival show or?
Yeah, I'm in Comedy Zone.
Oh, cool.
2019.
Oh, well, people can go and see you there.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
That's great. That'll be a great experience.
Yeah.
Have they got a mentor for you? Is it Nick Kappa or someone?
Oh, hope so. I've written a letter asking if they
have. I can mentor you privately. A small fee.
A small fee. Don't laugh.
Nah,
a young comic told me that he asked an older comic for help, and she said, yeah, no worries, we can sit down and have a coffee, but it'll cost you $50. It's like, fuck, save your money. Fuck that. Anyway, thanks for coming on the Debrief, both of you. We've got a bit longer to drive. We'll do a whole new show. No, we won't. We won't do it. Good one. All right. And Kappa, you're doing the festivals and stuff?
Yep, I'm doing Perth.
We've run out of time, mate. Sorry, we've got to go.
Adelaide, no. And Melbourne.
Yeah, keep your eye posted. Thanks, guys.